What was the song?
Blog Talk Radio.
I got a set.
Everybody under the sound of my voice. Right now, we're just going to worship God. I don't care what you're going through. Let's just saturate the place with worship. Let's saturate your cars, your houses. Offer it up to him right now. Whatever you're dealing with, just give it to him right now. I guarantee you in this moment, if you give it up, he will give it to you.
Oh,
He's an awesome God. God, we love you. And we reverence your name, Jesus. There's nobody like you. God, we submit. Hallelujah.
Hello, one more time. We are bringing you live. Internet radio, blog talk. This is Nathan once again. We had Talk to Talk come on at 8 o'clock tonight. It's a new show. She's out of town. We couldn't get hold of her. We got somebody special coming on tonight. They're going to bring a word to you. But before we get started, let's go ahead and say a prayer. First Lady, you want to say the prayer? And I'll read a scripture. Go ahead, First Lady. Say the prayer. Okay, she tells me. Look, I asked the First Lady to do a. And she tells me, no, she wants me to do the prayer. She didn't do the scripture. So I got to follow what the First Lady said. Father, Lord God, we come right now before you, Father, asking you to clear the airways, Lord. Anything that's not of God, move it out the way. We know for a fact that Satan got airplane pilots out there controlling the airways tonight that cause confusion, to cause people to get hurt. All they're trying to do is snatch us up and take us where they want us to go. But we got to clear those airways tonight. All them helicopter pilots out there that got riding around, we move them out the way. All the jet fighters, we move them out the way. Anything that's not of God in the airways, not of God's word, going to go through the airways tonight. Some people are going to get healed. Some people are going to get delivered. Some people are going to find and the eyes going to open up and they're going to see who God is. Ooh, God is all love. And this is a love program that we're bringing forth for you tonight. And we want to thank you. We're not going to close out, but we're going to dismiss ourselves to start this show to go forth. But before we do it, we're going to have God's word. Because this is a God-set place. And we're going to sanctify these lines. And we're going to have a scripture from the First Lady. Miss Shula coming up. Miss Shula, what do you got for us tonight? What kind of word you got for us? Give us a good one.
I'm going to be reading from Psalms 136. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. Oh, give thanks unto God of gods, for his mercy endures forever. Oh, give thanks to the Lord of your Lord, for his mercy endures forever.
Amen.
Now, further ado, if you want to keep you all night, but we got to bring the word forth. We got to bring forth Pastor Shula. Are you in the house tonight?
Praise the Lord.
Do you have a word for us tonight?
Amen.
You got a word?
We got a word.
You got a word, y'all. You got a word.
Yes.
Well, come on forth, Pastor. You can go ahead and however you God use you, let him use you to the highest.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. For those of you who are listening out there, tonight we're going to talk about the name of God. We're going to talk about the name of God. Now, notice I didn't say the names of God, but I say the name of God. Amen. We know that God is called by many different names. Tonight, I'm going to go to a scripture in Proverbs chapter 30. Proverbs chapter 30, Old Testament. In Proverbs chapter 30 and verse 4, God challenges us to tell or find out what his name is. Proverbs 30 and verse 4 says, who has ascended, and the word ascended there means went up. So who has ascended up into heaven? Or descended means went down. Who has gathered the wind in his fist? Who has bound the waters in a garment? Who has established all the ends of the earth? And notice what it says. It says, what is his name? And what is his son's name, if thou can tell? If you can tell what it is. Now, I know many of you, when we talk about the name of God, our English Version Bible has recorded the name Jehovah. Our English Version Bible has recorded the name Jehovah, and we have an organization that's called the Jehovah Witnesses who they push the name Jehovah more than any other name. And if we go to Psalms 83 and verse 18, it says that men may know that thou whose name alone is Jehovah art the Most High over all of the earth. Some taught that Abraham was the first to call God by the name of Jehovah. And I was taught this as a child, and as a matter of fact, I heard a minister on the radio a couple months ago, and he said that Abraham had referred to God by the name of Jehovah. But when you search the scriptures real good, you will find out that Abraham never did call God by the name of Jehovah.
Ooh.
Abraham never did call God by the name of Jehovah. So we have two callers that are coming in. And okay. So before, I know that we're going to go to Genesis chapter 22. If you have your Bibles tonight, if you're listening. In Genesis chapter 22, this is the reason why some people believe that Abraham had called God by the name of Jehovah. Genesis 22 and verse 14 says, and Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh. As it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. So because Genesis 22:14 mentions the name Jehovah, most people think that Abraham was calling God Jehovah. So let's prove that Abraham was not calling God by the name of Jehovah.
Ooh.
We go to Exodus chapter 6 and verse 3. In Exodus chapter 6 and verse 3. Exodus is right after the book of Genesis. In Exodus chapter 6 and verse 3, God is talking to Moses here. And God says, and I appeared unto Abraham and unto Isaac and unto Jacob, notice, by the name of God Almighty. But notice what God says here. But by my name Jehovah was I not known to them.
Wow.
Now I want you to notice the first person God mentions here who said that he didn't know his name, he said was Abraham.
Abraham. So he didn't call him Jehovah.
Abraham did not call God Jehovah.
The place he was called.
He was calling the place Jehovah.
Wow.
And not God. Amen.
You got me tonight. Now that's a good one.
Amen. So Abraham never called God by the name of Jehovah. Now,
what was the place?
Well, the place was the mountain where God was going to allow Abraham to sacrifice his son as a test.
Okay.
He wasn't going to really let him go all the way through it.
Hold on.
Amen.
Okay, I got it.
Amen. So Abraham never called God by the name Jehovah. So now, we know that the original Bible was first written in Hebrew and a little bit of Arabic, the New Testament, Greek. So the question is, when we go back to the original Bible, we know that actually there was no letter J in the Hebrew letters. So that's another reason why we know that God's one true original name could not possibly be Jehovah. God's one true name could not be Jehovah. Now, am I saying to you out there that's listening that we should not use the name Jehovah? No, I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that. So why is this subject or this topic so important? Some people will say, well, his name ain't important because he was God before we talk about his name. Well, if we want to know who God is, first of all, if I walk up to you as a person and I say, well, who are you? Normally, people will say, well, my name is so-and-so. So, even in Exodus chapter 3, before Moses went to the children of Israel, let's go to Exodus chapter 3, and we're going to begin at verse 13. This was when Moses had met God on the mountain. And verse 13 says, and Moses said unto God, behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, I want you to notice what Moses said, an intelligent thinking. He said, and shall say unto them, the God of your fathers has sent me unto you. And notice what Moses said, this is what they're going to say. And they shall say to me, what is his name?
Man.
And then he says, what shall I say unto them? And verse 14, and God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, thus shall thou say unto the children of Israel, I am has sent me unto you. So at that time, we have to understand that God did not want to reveal what his name was. God had a set time wherein he was going to reveal his name. Let me continue to prove this to you. When we go to Psalms chapter 22 and verse 22, in Psalms 22 and verse 22, it seemed that David was going to declare what God's name was. In Psalms 22 and verse 22, David said, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the congregation will I praise thee. So David seemed like he was about to tell us what God's name was. But the Bible that we have, the English version, had placing there, again, the name Jehovah. And again, because God had a set time when he was going to reveal his name. Now, I don't want to be here with you all night just turning and turning scriptures. So I'm going to go to maybe two or three more scriptures from the Old Testament to prove to you that God had a set time to reveal his name. Now, in Isaiah chapter 52, in Isaiah chapter 52 and verse 6, God has said that his people was going to know what his name was. So in Isaiah 52 verse 6, he says, therefore my people shall know my name. My people shall know my name. Therefore they shall know in that day. They shall know in that day that I am he that does speak. Behold, it is I. So God said there was going to come a day that his people was going to know what his name was. And also we're going to Zechariah chapter 14. Now I'm reading from the regular King James Version. Some other versions may say something different. Before we go to the New Testament, we're going to go to Zechariah chapter 14 and verse 9. In Zechariah chapter 14 and verse 9, it says this, and the Lord shall be king over all the earth. In that day, a particular time, shall there be one Lord and his name one. In that day, there shall be one Lord and his name is going to be one. So, we can even see the Bible tells us this. It says, there are many gods and there are many lords. And even David, in Psalms 110 and verse 1, he said, the Lord said unto my Lord. But there, that's the mentioning of two lords. The Lord said unto my Lord, sit on my right hand till I make thy foes or your enemies your footstool.
My God.
So, there was going to come a time, according to this prophecy of Zechariah, that there was going to only going to be one Lord. One Lord, and his name was going to only be one name. So what was that day? First of all, what we have to understand and we have to realize that a lot of the prophecies that David himself had prophesied was fulfilled through the person called Jesus Christ. Now, in the Hebrew, his true original birth name was Yeshua. Okay? Now, we may use Jesus, and God still understands when we use Jesus. He knows what we're talking about. But in his natural Hebrew name, it was Yeshua. Because there was, again, no letter J in the Hebrew letters. Okay, so Jesus fulfilled a lot of things that David had said. David said in Psalms 22:16 that they pierced my hands and they pierced my feet. Now, we know that David's hands and feet were not pierced. So, who was David talking about? He was talking about somebody that was going to be born through his family line whose hands and feet in the future was going to be pierced. David said in Psalms 22:22 that he was going to declare God's name. Who was the person that had declared or revealed what God's name was, fulfilling what David had said? In John 17 and verse 6, Jesus was the one who declared or had revealed what God's one true original name was. It reads right here in John 17:6, the words are written in red showing that it is Jesus Christ speaking. And I'm going to ask Minister Hill to read this for us.
Yeah, Minister Hill.
Yeah. In verse 6. This is Jesus talking.
I have manifested thy name unto the men which have grieved.
Which thou gavest me.
That thou gavest me out of the world. Thou they were, and thou gavest me, and thou have kept thy word.
Amen. And they have kept thy word. So notice, Jesus says, I have manifested thy name. And the word manifest right here means I have revealed, told, or made known your name. And then Jesus points out who he made known this name to. He says, unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. And those men were the disciples who became apostles of Jesus Christ. And it says, thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. So the disciples knew what the name of the Father was because Jesus had revealed it to them. And it's also found in verse 26. He says, and I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. Now, so we're getting down to the meat of this thing.
Yeah, I want to know, so you don't hit me now. Amen. You gonna tell us something you're going too far. That's what tell who's his
name.
Who is his name?
Okay. Amen. So we when we go to John 5:43, we know that Jesus said that I am come in my Father's name.
Right.
In John 5:43 he says, I am come in my Father's name, and ye receive me not. If another shall come in his own name, him ye will receive. Now some believe that when Jesus said that I have come in my Father's name, that Jesus was talking about in his Father's authority only and not a personal name. But what we have to understand that names do carry authority. Now, I don't know how many of y'all might feel like you're too saved to remember when Eddie Murphy did the stand-up comedy called Delirious. And he was talking about the authority of names there when he said that, man, if somebody came up to me and said, man, Michael Jackson looking for you because he mad about the jokes you told. And he said, man, if Mike, I ain't going to sweat. Because Mike only wear a buckle 5. But if somebody say, Mr. T looking for you, he say, hey, I'll be fearful. He say, Mr. T, like, he can rip some butt. So names do carry authority.
Yeah.
So Jesus said, I came in my Father's name. Now, like I said, we want to get to the meat of this. We don't want to be here all night talking about it. And so we go to Matthew chapter 28 and verse 19. In Matthew 28, verse 19, some of us know it as the Great Commission, when Jesus sent the disciples out to make disciples. In Matthew 28:19, Jesus said, after his resurrection, he said to the disciples, he says, go ye therefore and teach all nations, meaning all people, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Now, we'll notice that, now, we're not here for argument issue about which name you should be baptized in, but here Jesus says baptizing them in the name of. He didn't say the titles of, and, you know, that's right. He didn't say titles. He said in the name. The word father is a title, because if 10 fathers were in a room and you walk in the room and you say, well, everyone here who's a father, would you please stand up? How many fathers going to stand up?
All
10 of them, because all 10 of them are fathers. But if one of the fathers had the name Joe, and you walk in the room and say, well, every father here with the name Joe, please stand up, then only Joe is going to stand up. So the name points out exactly which father or what father you were talking about. So Jesus said to baptize in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. And so when we go to Acts chapter 2 and verse 38. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, this is when Peter had begun to baptize people under the instructions of what Jesus himself had said. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, Peter said, here it says, then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission or the forgiveness of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Some say, well, Peter had did opposite of what Jesus said. But the truth is, Peter did exactly what Jesus said. Jesus said in the name of. So Peter used a name. Jesus didn't say in the names of, plural, but he said in the name, singular. Amen. So the question is, are there any scriptures proving that Jesus' name would cover for Father, for Son, and for the Holy Ghost? Well, there is.
Seriously?
It is. Amen. So we
you
go.
You got a name.
Amen. We go back to the Old Testament, and it shows us that Jesus would be Father, and he would be Son. And we're going to also show you a scripture about the Holy Ghost. That didn't just come in the title, Holy Ghost, but the Holy Ghost came in a name.
Okay.
Amen. So we go to Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6, a famous scripture that's quoted around Christmas time. And it says, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, and notice here, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. So if you notice right here in this verse, it mentions him as Father and as Son, because it says that we know this prophecy is about Jesus Christ. So it says he will be called the Everlasting Father, but it says he will be given as a son. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave Jesus as his only son. Amen. So if we think about it, what is the Everlasting Father's name? In the English, we'll say Jesus, but in Hebrew, Yeshua. What is the name of the Son that was given? In English, Jesus. In Hebrew, Yeshua. Now, somebody said, oh, well, what about the Holy Ghost? You stuck. We go to John chapter 14 and verse 26. New Testament. In John chapter 14 and verse 26, this is Jesus again. He's talking because it's written in red. He says, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, telling who the Comforter is, he says, whom the Father will send, and notice how he's going to send him, in my name, in my name. Imagine if you were Jesus saying that the Holy Ghost is going to come in your name, pointing back to yourself. So that means that the Holy Ghost was going to come in the name, in English, Jesus, or in the Hebrew, Yeshua. Amen, Yeshua. So, now, if we have any callers out there who want to get in on this, you're welcome to call. Now, since God's one true original name is believed to be Yahweh or Yahweh, we got to think, why didn't Peter, on the day of Pentecost, when Jesus said to baptize in the name of the Father, if the names are different, why didn't Peter say, okay, let's go from the English version. Why didn't Peter say, okay, well, the name of the Father is Jehovah, and different person under the water. And then he didn't say, well, the name of the Son is Jesus, and different person under the water. And he didn't pause when it came to the Holy Ghost. But Peter, in Acts 2.38, just had used one name to cover for Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. If the Father's name was Yahweh, and the Son's name is Yeshua, why didn't Peter, again, use two different names? He didn't. He used one name to cover for all three titles. Why? Because the name of the Son cracked the codes to God's one true original name. Now, first of all, we have to understand how did the name Yahweh came about. The name Yahweh came about because it was represented by four letters, which the Hebrew people took out the original letters that went between the YHWH, or some believe the YHVH, because they didn't want nobody to misuse God's name. So they took out the letters. And so, since they took out the letters, what the scholars did, they said, okay, well, since we can't pronounce YHWH, let's put in the vowel A and the vowel E. And that's why people today is calling God Yahweh or Yahweh. Okay? And the reason why some believe that is YHVH rather than YHWH, because the letter W and the letter V mean the same thing in the Hebrew pictures. See, God's one true original Hebrew name also deals with the crucifixion of Jesus. The letter Y represents a hand. The letter H means whole or to be whole. The letter V or the letter W stands for peg, hook, or a nail. And then we have a H again, which means whole or be whole. Now, if we read that the way it's written in Hebrew, it would spell out, behold the nail, behold the hand. Behold the nail, behold the hand.
Okay.
In other words, see the nail and see the hand. Amen. Because God was going to do something at the cross. As a matter of fact, we go all the way back to Zechariah 12 and verse 8 until verse 10. Now, I don't have my Bible open, but you can go there. But in Zechariah 12, verse 8, it says that the house of David shall be as God. And verse 10, God says that they shall look upon me whom they have pierced. They shall look upon me whom they have pierced. So if God spoke to us as a spirit being, saying that he was going to be pierced, then we have to understand. How could they see God to pierce him if he was a spirit? You couldn't see him to grab him and pierce him. Right. So in other words, God had to take on a materialized body. He had to become flesh and blood in order for people to see him and to pierce him. So who was that person that was known as God in a human fleshly body?
Jesus.
In English, we say Jesus. In the Hebrew, Yeshua.
Sure.
So, I will say this to you. For those who may have a pen and piece of paper, write out your four letters in capital. Write out and leave some space between it. And write the first letter Y. Then write the letter H or V.
H.
H. And then write the capital letter W. And then the last H also capital, but leave some space between there. Now, if you put in between the Y and the first H, A-S, and then put after that first H, put the letter U, and then put a letter A after that W, and it would spell out Yeshua. Yeshua. Spelling out Jesus' Hebrew name, which nobody is sure exactly how it is exactly spelled, but according to scriptures, this is the reason why I believe that this is the way that it's possibly spelled. Now, the reason why I go with the W is because if a W means a nail, we got to notice that David said in Psalms 22, they pierced not only his hand, which would be a V. But he said, they pierced my hands and my feet, which would be two nails. And here's a revelation for you that's listening out there. First of all, when you think of the letter W, it's no more than two V's combined anyway.
Ooh.
A W is nothing but two V's combined.
Yeah.
Amen. So you can, if you want to go with Yeshua, I will not argue with you. You know? But Yeshua is, you know, what I go with. But I would not argue if a person say, no, I believe it's Yeshua. And the reason why it's hard to argue with that is because actually even if you looked at some of the hidden Bible codes, the truth is they really had only found four letters. But they had went ahead on and put Y-E-S-H-U-A, Yeshua. Mel Gibson spells it Y-E. And some argue that it should be YA. So this is the reason why I believe that Jesus' name cracks the code to God's one true original name, and that he actually came in God's name for real. Amen. And here's something else to consider. If the name of the Father and the Son is not the same, here's what we have to ask ourselves. Why is it in Isaiah chapter 45, God himself had said this. In Isaiah chapter 45, God said, let me find it. But anyway, God was saying that every knee is going to bow to me. That's what God said. He said that I am God, and you know that there is none else. And I don't know which verse it is right now, but I know it's in Isaiah chapter 45. I think it's around. Okay. Isaiah 45, verse 22 and 23. This is what God says. He said, "Look unto me, and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth." And notice who he says he is. "For I am God, and there is none else." So this is God speaking. And verse 23, he says, "I have sworn by myself, the word is going out of my mouth in righteousness, and shall not return." And notice what he says now, that unto me, God, every knee shall bow, every tongue shall swear. So God says that every knee is going to bow to me. Now, when we go to Philippians chapter 2, the New Testament, it lets us know the name of this person who every knee is going to bow to.
Ooh.
In Philippians chapter 2.
Oh, we getting it tonight. So if anybody want to call in now, all you got to do is call in. That's on the internet service. You call in 347-945-5416. Let us know how you feel, what your opinion is. Just call and hit one. Oh, can't hit one tonight. But if you call in and hit one, I'm going to put you live. You got to go live because all both of us in the house tonight, so we are live all the way. In fact, I have the whole station live. If you want to say something or express your opinion, because I tell you, I just found out something new myself, so I know y'all's ears is wide open. Let's get on the ball.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. In Philippians chapter 2, the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans, 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, and then the book of Philippians. In Philippians chapter 2 verse 9, it says, "Wherefore God also has highly exalted him," or lifted him, "and given him a name which is above every name."
Oh.
And notice, verse 10 says, "That at the name of Jesus," or in the Hebrew, Yeshua, what's going to happen? "Every knee shall bow of things," not only on earth, notice, "of things in heaven, and things in earth, and things under the earth."
Whoa.
"And that every tongue shall confess or admit that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father."
My Lord.
Amen. So the Bible points out, when God says every knee is going to bow to me, and say that it's going to be Jesus' name that we're going to bow to. Amen. Amen. So, we know that the Bible says in Isaiah that God is not going to share his glory with another.
Mm.
So, Jesus and God have to be the same, because God is not going to share his glory with nobody else. And we can prove it through the crucifixion that Jesus and God are the same. We already proved that through Zechariah chapter 12, that God says they should look upon me whom they are going to pierce. And then, so that means that the blood of God is going to be shed. And then we go to Revelation 1:5. It says that Jesus washed us in his own blood. We go to Acts chapter 20 and verse 28. It says the Holy Ghost had purchased the church with his own blood. Amen. So if it was the blood of God at the cross, if it was the blood of Jesus at the cross, and if it was the blood of the Holy Ghost, then it must mean that they are all one and the same.
Okay, we got a caller.
Praise the Lord.
Caller.
Yeah, praise the Lord.
Oh, all praise the time.
Lord. Yeah, I love this.
And you love it?
Yeah. Yeah. Amen. And Pastor Shu and John Hill.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah, maybe y'all can share some light on this for me. This is good right here, talking about Jesus Christ and who he is, and that he is the Savior, and how the world, through their wisdom, still just didn't know him. I'm looking at First Corinthians chapter 1.
Mm-hmm.
And chapter 1:21.
Amen. First Corinthians 1:21?
Yeah.
Amen.
And when it says, possessing the wisdom of God, the world through wisdom did not know God, it pleased God through the foolishness of the message preaching to save them who believe. And it says, for the Jews the question is sign, and the Greek seeks after wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified. To the Jews a stumbling block, and to the Greek foolishness.
And,
and as you were saying, all with from the Old Testament, and it was prophesied concerning Jesus Christ and who he is. And yet today we have a lot of people still don't know him. They know about him, but then they don't know him. But according to the scripture here, it says that for the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to those who are sick, being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Now, if you want, you can elaborate on that a little bit so that people will know that Jesus Christ is the only man given unto heaven. That means that Jesus Christ is the only one, the only Savior, and why we should honor and do everything according to the will of God in that name. That name, that name, that name. And a lot of people still wonder why so many people just don't get it. So I would like you to kind of spine up on that a little bit and kind of get that out there about the preaching of the cross is foolishness. And then we're to those who are trying to get to know Jesus Christ, but I think it's because they are using the wisdom of the world and they are not using the wisdom of God. And that's what is happening. And that's what is happening. I mean, the wisdom of God is from above, and the wisdom on the earth is of man. And that's where I think that they're trying to go by the letter of the law. And the Bible says, what? The letter of the law kills, but the Spirit of God gives life. And I believe that that's where a lot of people are missing it when it comes down to that name, Jesus Christ. That they had to know him, they never would have crucified him. And these were people who know the word. These were the people who was educated in the word. As Apostle Paul was talking about his education. And out of all his education, when he met Jesus Christ, he's that kind of all the things but done. But I might know him, and in the power of his resurrection, but getting those things which are behind me, I press forward and mark my high calling. And you wonder how some people can come out of seminary, can go to school almost all their life, trying to become minister and a preacher of the gospel, and yet just don't receive Jesus Christ as according to that name, they just don't want to honor that name in baptism. It's like you were explaining it tonight, they don't want to recognize that the Father, Son, the Holy Ghost are titled. They still just don't get it. So I would like you to explain or expand on that a little bit. Maybe someone listening out here, it could be a blessing to them and see how men miss it because of the earthly wisdom that they are using to allow the Spirit of God, Christ, in them. And once Christ comes in them, the Spirit of God, then they can understand spiritual things. So if you can, expand on that a little bit.
Amen. Well, we did touch on it a little earlier that, you know, the word father is a title when we use the example that we say that if 10 fathers was in one room and you walk in the room and if you said, well, everyone here who's a father, please stand up. Well, then automatically, if they listen to what you say, all 10 fathers will stand up. If one of the fathers had the name Joe, and you walk in and say, well, every father here with the name Joe, stand up, then only Joe is going to stand up, showing that, you know, the name points out exactly which father you're talking about. Amen. And you use the same material, the word is son. You know, again, if you had 10 sons and, you know, and one of them had a different name from, you know, all 10 of them had different names, and you call the one by their personal name, the name points out exactly which son you're talking about. It's all claiming to be holy. And one can, you know, talking about.
So you're saying the spirit of love will take place. And we got a spirit of love, we got a spirit of heat. So I'm calling out for the spirit of love.
No, what I'm talking about is a personal name versus
a personal name.
So, a personal name.
Let's say the spirit. So if the spirit is a name, so if you're going to call a spirit out of somebody, you got to call it by name for it to come out.
Well, there's a difference between title names, a personal name, and nicknames, all of that.
Okay.
But a personal name, the Holy Spirit came in a personal name. And again, you get to go in John 14:26. Jesus says, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name. Yeah.
That's the Spirit.
Yeah, a Comforter tells of the characteristics of what the Spirit will do. He will comfort you.
Yeah.
It don't mean that that's his name. You can call him, you can say Comforter, because...
But he'll know he's the Comforter.
Yeah.
The Holy Spirit is the Comforter.
He's the Comforter because he will comfort you through things that you go through in life.
Uh-huh. But his name is...
But he came in the name of Jesus.
Okay. Why did it say Holy Spirit?
Well, the word holy shows you the nature of the Spirit.
The Spirit of Jesus.
Yeah. And the word Spirit shows you what he's made of.
Okay.
Let's go down to the Trinity a little bit. God and the Holy Spirit is one and the same. How can we do this? Leviticus 19 and verse 2, God says, be ye holy because I am holy. In John 4:24, Jesus says God is a spirit. So therefore, if God is holy and if God is a spirit, God is the Holy Spirit. Amen. So what confuses people is when we say God, and see, the word God only shows us God's position, that he sits or he rules as God. Mm. And we use a capital G because he's not just a God, he's the Most High God.
I am.
Amen. He's the Most High God. He's God Almighty. Genesis 17:1, Abraham called him the Almighty God. Amen. And then... like we say, the word holy shows us the nature of God.
Mm-hmm.
And the word spirit shows us what God is made of.
Okay. Spirit.
Now, so again, other scriptures that we can use to prove that God and the Holy Spirit is one and the same is Matthew 1:18. It says Mary was found pregnant with the child of the Holy Ghost.
So that's the... Oh, my God.
Mary was pregnant with the child of the Holy Ghost.
Yeah.
It didn't say she was pregnant with the child of God, but it says with the Holy Ghost. So... And then verse 21 goes down and names the child. Tell us who the child was. It was Jesus. You know, you should call his name Jesus because he will save his people.
Actually told Mary in the name of Jesus, Yeshua.
Well, actually, in their original Hebrew tongue, it was Yeshua. Yeah, it was Yeshua in their Hebrew tongue. Okay, and then so
when it was translated. He became in the name of Jesus.
Yeah, to us who speak English. Amen. Now, and then since Mary was pregnant with the child of the Holy Ghost, and then John 16 tells us that he was God's son, then it must mean that the Holy Ghost and God is the same spirit. And how else can we prove it? Because when Jesus prayed, he didn't pray and say fathers. He said Father, singular. So Jesus was not confused about who his father was. So, and then we go to John chapter 1, verse 1 and verse 14. It proves that Jesus, God, and the Holy Spirit is one and the same again because we know John 1:1 says, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And we know the Word is Jesus Christ, according to Revelation 19:13. Okay, and then verse 14 says, and the Word became flesh among us. And even though he was God, I want you to know how the rest of that verse continues. It says, and we beheld his glory as of the only God. Even though he was the Father, but he will walk the earth as the Son. Now, how did that come about?
So when he said, if you see me, you see the Father.
Exactly.
So you can't mistake that. You can't, there's nothing you can do with that. If you looked at Jesus.
That's right.
Then you see the Father.
That's right, because...
So if you look at me, and he abides in me, you're supposed to see Jesus
right.
in me.
Amen. Amen. That's right.
So why are we so blind to that?
Amen.
Well, I can tell you one reason why.
Go ahead.
It's many reasons. I can tell you one of the main reasons why is this. God himself didn't need any help. God's plan of salvation, plan that he has given us as a gift. It's that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son.
Mm-hmm.
And whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. That means that we can't do anything to earn salvation. It's a
Amen.
Gift. So therefore, the Bible says, lest any man should boast, right? It's not
Amen.
By work, so that no flesh can glory in God's sight, saying that I did this or I did that.
That's
if
right.
God Almighty, all by himself, laid down his life
That's it.
And died. So that means that no earthly human being on the face of the earth can take credit for that. It's a gift. And anybody tried to earn it or try to come in any other way, they come in as a thief and a liar. Jesus Christ is the only way. And some people try to make it look like it's something that you got to do. But it's a gift. That means that God himself, he said, let any man that glory, let him glory in God. In what God have done. He did that so that nobody can take the glory. Nobody can say that I did this by my work or I'm educated and I learned this and I learned. It's
that's
all,
right.
That's why God, he took the simple, the things that are despised. He uses those things, like simple people like you and I, somebody who just humble and just believe that God himself, Jesus Christ, that name is God's plan of salvation, so that nobody can take the credit. And if all of us just realize that salvation is a gift from God and you can't earn it. Now, I know when you get saved, you believe, you know, you walk in out of God's word and God forgive you for your sins, and but you cannot earn salvation. And you cannot earn it. That's why God told Jesus told Nicodemus you must be born again. And Nicodemus couldn't understand that. He couldn't understand how can a man be born again when he's old. So what I'm saying is this is God's plan of salvation. And God's plan of salvation is the only plan. But so many times people come with another plan. You got to do this step one, step two, step three, step four. It's just one step. And that's Jesus Christ, what he did upon that cross. And when he receives him as Lord and Savior, then he gives the gifts to the churches. He gives the church the gifts. And that's what builds us up so that we can be empowered to hold the Holy Ghost. But that name, Jesus Christ, we must realize that he is God. And God
that's
did
right.
this, and it pleases God to come up with this plan of salvation. But in the eyes of the world, those who are trying to seek God is foolishness. But God takes the foolishness is wiser than men. And that's why God always takes it. He's got mighty men, no men to call. How many people you know that come out of Harvard University is a preacher, a pastor, or an evangelist. Sometimes their education won't allow them because they use human wisdom to try to alter the plan of God, and it's not going to work. And also all I got to say about that is that it's God's plan and it's God's idea and how God uses the simple people that wasn't educated in the word. Now, Apostle Paul was educated, but after he met God on the road to Damascus, what happened? When he was blinded, he said, Lord, who art thou? And Jesus said, why thou persecuting me? He said, I'm God. You know, I'm Jesus. So people just realize it's God's plan and accept the plan and let God fill them with the Spirit. I think you'll see more power in the gospel being preached when they realize that what you can't earn it. I hear some people say that if you get the Holy Ghost, if you ain't got the Holy Ghost, you're going to hell. Well, how can you get the Holy Ghost if you haven't been born again? If you haven't accepted God's plan of salvation. If you need to accept God's plan salvation on the cross, the blood, and accept what he has done, then you're saved. Then God can give you the gift and fill you with the Holy Ghost and give you an understanding of his word. I love this tonight. I'm enjoying it. It fills me up when you start talking about that name of Jesus Christ.
Amen, amen. That's right. You know, I think it's very interesting to see when we talk about the name that even in the Bible code, like we said, that there was four letters that represented God's name. And when they found and what happened was even in the hidden Bible codes, they found four letters that dealt with Jesus' name. So to me, that, you know, right there, why would you have four letters that dealt with God's name and then you only found four that dealt with Jesus' name? You know, so to me, it was a hint. God had planted many hints, and even in the hidden Bible codes of the same scripture that I had started off with, when God in one sense had challenged us to find out what his name was, which was Proverbs chapter 30 and verse 4, when it says, what is his name and what is his son's name? I have the film home that's called Yeshua is My Name. Well, they have revealed the name of Jesus Christ, which was Yeshua. You know, it didn't reveal Yahweh. It revealed the name Yeshua. It says, I believe there it says Yeshua the gift, but don't quote me on that, because I would have to go back and look for sure to what it said. But I do know it says Yeshua. So all I'm saying to you is that, you know, basically everything that God had wanted to fulfill, even the revelation of what his one true original name was, all of that was fulfilled through Jesus Christ. That even Colossians 2:9 says that in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. So everything would be fully in Christ. And even when Zechariah chapter 14 verse 9 says, in that day there shall be one Lord and his name shall be one. When we go to the book of Ephesians chapter 4, a lot of churches use this verse in Ephesians chapter 4, and it says verse 4, it says, there is one body and one spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling. Now notice, before it was two Lords, but notice what verse 5 says, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. So even though David had said one time, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit on my right hand. But notice Paul here says in Ephesians 5, there ain't but one Lord now. And what's his name? It's Jesus. It's Jesus, or in the Hebrew, Yeshua. Amen, Yeshua. And there's another scripture says that no man can say that Jesus is Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Amen. So in other words, it's a revelation or an understanding from the Holy Ghost to reveal to you who Jesus Christ is. Amen.
Amen. Isn't there somewhere in the scripture where the Bible said that you need not no man teach you but the Holy Ghost?
Yeah, that's found in 1 John. Amen.
Right.
It's in 1 John. I think it's 1 John chapter. And backing up, let's see. I know it's in chapter 2.
Yeah, back it up a little bit. Because I know I read it in there someplace. I don't remember exactly where it's at in the scripture,
okay.
But I remember reading it.
Okay, well, it's 1 John chapter 2, and I'm going to start at verse 20. And it says, 1 John chapter 20.
Okay.
I mean, chapter 2. Yeah,
okay.
Chapter 2.
Hold up before y'all start that. Let me get this announcement out there. We are live tonight with Pastor Shula taking standing in for the prophet. She's on her knees right now praying. She said something is going on in the atmosphere. And she got to stay on her knees the whole time this is going on. So we are praying for the prophet right now that whatever she's seeing the spirit that's attacking the airwaves or whatever's going on, we're praying that she will prevail and get the victory over it. Because she's on her knees. God tell her don't get off her knees. And so she said, will Pastor Shula come on tonight at 8 o'clock and do this show? That's why we got Pastor Shula live tonight. We also got Evangelist Hampton. He's calling, where are you located at tonight? What part of the world are you stationed at tonight?
But I'm here down in Memphis, Tennessee. Down on Martin Luther King Boulevard.
All right.
Yeah.
So, getting on this conversation tonight, all you got to do right now is just hit one if you're already on. But if you're on the internet, I see some people on the internet, so all you got to do is call 347. 945-5416. You don't have much time left here. We're supposed to have another show at 9 o'clock. I don't know. They didn't call me. We might have to have that show next week. But let me go ahead right now and let you just hit one. Give us your personal opinion. Hey, say, hey, you enjoy the show, but Come on. Now, we got to go live. When you come on, you're going live. Okay? That's 347-945-5416.
Amen.
Amen.
Well, praise the Lord. Well, evangelist, that scripture is in 1 John chapter 2. And we know 1 John is backed by the book of Revelation. And verse 20 says, "But ye have an unction from the Holy One, and ye know all things." You know all things. And then verse 27 is the one that you was talking about. It says, "But the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you, and ye need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie. And even as it has taught you, ye shall abide or stay in him."
Wow.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Now, first, I want to comment for the people that's listening. They might say, "Oh, man, I got to go to church next Sunday because the Bible just tell me that I don't need no man to teach me." It don't mean that that the Holy Spirit comes to replace the apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. It don't mean that. But in other words, there are some things that God want to teach you personally that you ain't never heard no man say. And sometimes he will allow a pastor, preacher, or teacher, or whoever to minister a particular word, and you may just get a little piece of it, but after you keep meditating on it, what the Holy Spirit will do, it will take that and it will open it up real wide for you and cause you to see some things that you didn't hear nobody else say.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. So it doesn't mean that we are doing away with the gifts, because Ephesians chapter 4 lets us know, verse 8, that God gave unto the body. And verse 11 says, "And he gave some apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers for the perfection of the both of saints." It doesn't
mean that. Amen. And it means that whatever you get from the Holy Ghost, you can always, it's going to line up with the Word. In other words, the Holy Ghost, the Holy Ghost is not going to teach you anything that's contrary to the Word. So if the Holy Ghost gives you that personally between you and God, you can always know it's God by measuring up with the Spirit, with the Word.
Amen.
And that's what I believe that the Holy Ghost would do for each one of us. Is he that comes to God must believe that he is God, and he will reward of them that diligently seek him, like you saying. And if you go to God and you're really sincere, God can reveal to you, if you're really seeking God with all your heart, and with all your might, you're really seeking the face of God, I believe that he can give you a revelation that nobody else has gotten yet. But it still won't be contrary to the Word. And that's what I believe, that when we seek God, if my people will call by my name, but humble themselves and pray, seek my face, turn from the wicked ways, then will he live, and I will heal their land. I believe that there's power when you pray and you really seek God for something that you up against you, and you're saying that the prophet was praying that God would move and really do a work, and that the prophet seek God, I believe that God will reveal, and she will hear from heaven, no doubt about it. But it takes time, praying, and really seeking God, faith. David said, when the Lord says, seek his face, he said, my heart will I seek his face. That means what's in the heart. It got to get in the heart. When you get in the heart, I believe that's when God let David know that he was a man after God's own heart. I believe it got to get in the heart. And that's what I pray and fast and believe God that, search me, creating you a clean heart and a right spirit.
Amen.
And I believe that's how you really seek the face of God, with that heart. The heart got to be right. It could be on the outside looking good, but if on the inside and what you're harboring in your heart, that can block your prayers. But I believe, like you say, God can speak to you personally. If you're really seeking his face, the Holy Ghost is not going to lead you contrary to the Word of God. The Holy Ghost is there to lead and guide you into all truth. And I believe that the Holy Ghost is what here now that's keeping us. Without the Holy Ghost, can you imagine what the world would be here now? Who would be in control? It probably would be the Republican and the Democrat. You're right. Thank God for the Holy Ghost. Thank God for the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Amen.
That's right. Amen. Well, we thank God for you too, Evangelist. I know that Hill said we don't have that much time left, but you know, and you just quoted a scripture that I thought a lot about too, even concerning this topic that we're talking about tonight. What is the name of God? Because that's in Chronicles 7:14, that if my people are called by my name, and you know, God didn't say called by my names, but he said called by my name. And, you know, I know that God is called by many different names, sometimes for different reasons. You know, when Abraham called him God Almighty, you know that God Almighty is not his personal name, but it shows his power, you know. So Abraham called God by, you know, the authority of his power that he had. Some people had called God a rock because God had represented, you know, the one who would bring them stability, would make them solid, and, you know, and he's a solid God who does not change. So, you know, so people call God by different names and title names for different reasons. But God has personal name. Amen. And so that's what we're talking about tonight. What is his personal name?
Amen. Amen.
So and I believe that Jesus' Hebrew name deals with the personal name of God. You know. And
Amen.
So that's why the Bible tells us that whatsoever we do in word or deed, it says do it all in the name of Jesus. Do it all in the name of Jesus. Amen. Or Yeshua. So I definitely believe that Jesus' Hebrew name reveals God's one true original Hebrew name also. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. But Minister Hill, he stepped out for a minute. But do we have any more callers out there? Amen. Anybody have want to call in and, you know, say your comments? You're welcome to call in. And if you wish to call me personally, I'm Pastor John Lee Shula of Orangeburg Crossing Crown Ministries, 4394 Columbia Road. And my number is 803-383-7758. That's my personal number. And then we have Evangelist Hampton. You can call him. He also... we all work together, him, I, and Minister Hill. Evangelist, would you tell them what's your phone number?
The phone number is 803-707-3355. That's 803-707-3355.
Amen. 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 I know that we're about to run out of time, and before we close tonight, we want to tell somebody how to accept God in their life. The same God that we have discovered it was actually God on the cross who had died for us. It wasn't just the Son of God, but it was great salvation because it was God Almighty who decided that I'm going to step from heaven, come down in the earth, grow up as a human being, and get on a cross. I'm going to be spit on, I'm going to be beaten and bruised for you, mistreated. And just so that you can be saved, just so
Amen.
You can be buried and rise again on the third day to justify us, to show us that one day there's going to be a judge, there's going to be a choice that we can have hope of having life after death through his son Yeshua or Jesus. Amen. So how can you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and as your Savior? The Bible says in Romans 10:9-10 that if you will confess or admit with your mouth that Jesus Lord, believe your heart that God has raised him from the dead, it says you shall be saved. Verse 13 says, whosoever, black, white, Chinese, any, whatever, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So all you have to do is you have to believe that Jesus died for your sins, he was buried, and on the third day he rose again. If you believe that, just pray this prayer to God from your heart. And say, God, I come to you a sinner. I believe Jesus died for me, was buried, and rose. Lord Jesus, come into my heart, come into my life, and save me. Fill me with the Holy Spirit. And God, help me live for you all the days of my life. Help me, God, to study your word that I'll know you in a personal way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Okay. Boy, it was hot. If you didn't get something, I know I learned something tonight. Okay, we're going to have a song. If you're running about, my clock say about 9 minutes behind radio station time. But we're going to go to the next show right after this song. We're going to bring live Faith Walker and whoever he got to come in. Right after the song, you'll be listening at the new section of the show. Faith Walker going to be on. I don't know what he got to say, but he better bring some fire. If he don't bring no fire to the show, I'm going to say repent. And call me back next week. Right after the song. Just putting somebody on the spot one more time. Y'all stay with us. Hey, stay and support Faith Walker.
Amen.
Stay and support Faith Walker. Don't click off. Support him tonight.
Amen.
If you don't, I'm going to support him next week because I'm going to put the repent on him.
Don't go and say things about my father. God is my friend. He made this world for us to live in. He gave us everything. And all
hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We thank you. We thank you tonight, amen, for joining Kingdom Voices, amen. We got Prince Redeem is hosted by Prince Redeem. He has a guest, anointed man of God coming on, Prophet, amen, Brown by way of Florida, amen. He will be joining us in a second. But first, I'm going to open up in a word of prayer and then introduce our host, and then we'll follow by his special guest on tonight in the name of Jesus Christ. So, Father God, in the name of Jesus Christ, Lord God, we just declare, we decree, Lord God, complete obedience and submission to the anointing of the Holy Spirit right now, Lord God. And we ask, Lord God, in the name of Jesus Christ, we take authority over anything that's not of your Lord.
Lord God. Lord God, the way of God is perfect. The way of God is straight, God. We, Lord God, you say there's a way that seems right to a man, but the inward is death, Lord God. So we, right now we plead the blood of Jesus, Lord God, of every unclean, defiled, demonic force, Lord God, that tries to work up against EMG on the spot, Nathan, Lord God, and Lord God, any man of God that's assembled on this line. And Lord God, we just ask that everybody that's here or listening around the world via internet, Lord God, cell phones, smartphones, Lord God, Galaxy phones, Lord God, airports, truckers, no matter where you at in your respectable places, that you are here by divine appointment. So we just release the anointing. We ask that you just open your heart and receive the anointing on tonight in the name of Jesus Christ. So Lord God, just touch Prince Redeem right now, Lord God. Let your anointing fall on him, Lord God. Quicken him by way of the Holy Spirit. Touch your prophet, Lord God, on tonight, Lord God. Work in him. Let the words, meditation of his heart be led by the Holy Spirit, Lord God. We thank you that your angels encamp around us, Lord God. We think that we only move and say what you say, Lord God, in the name of Jesus Christ. We thank you, Lord God, that this is the generation of those who seek him, Lord God. So we seek you, Lord God, in your voice, in your way, in your counsel, Lord God, in the name of Jesus Christ, Lord God. And we thank you right now, Lord God. We thank you for obedience, Lord God, which is better than sacrifice, Lord God. We thank you, Lord God, for holiness, Lord God. Hallelujah. We thank you for your prophets and your apostles, Lord God. We thank you for the foundation of God. So right now, in the name of Jesus Christ, we thank you for kingdom voices, Lord God. Lord God, that showcases those who bring forth the wind of God, Lord God, who will tap into the mind of God in the name of Jesus Christ. And we declare, we decree, we say in the name of Jesus Christ, it is so in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
And amen. Hallelujah, amen. Jesus. On tonight, the number to call in is 347-945-5416. That's 347-945-5416. And now the host I'm going to bring to for your listening, amen, for your spiritual edification on tonight, along with his special guest. The man of God is also known. He comes by way of Greenville, South Carolina. He's an anointed man of God. He has ministered in Greenville. He has ministered in North Carolina. He's ministered in various other places on the eastern seaboard. He's an anointed vessel. He's a prayer warrior. He's a worshiper. Amen. He's also a seer, so don't get it twisted. Amen. He's also a prophetic seer. Amen, in the name of Jesus Christ. And so he also is on the Joseph and Lazarus mixtape, Dominion Mixtape Volume 1, which will be out Thanksgiving, amen. It will be out Thanksgiving, Lord willing, amen. And also his album will be out December 25th, Kingdom Forerunner by EMG and Warfield Records. And also his special guest coming on tonight is none other than Deacon Brown from Florida. That is a ministry name, amen, but he is a prophet. Don't you also get that twisted in the name of Jesus Christ. He flows prophetically. He repairs the breach. He tears down. He uproots, amen. He sets the order as God prescribes him to in the name of Jesus Christ. He announced by way of the Holy Ghost in the name of Jesus Christ. He has, God has given him a gift to prophetically align people to their divine destiny, to declare the decree, to announce in the name of Jesus Christ. So now I step out of the way and I turn this over to your host at this time, none other than Prince Redeem, a.k.a. Brother Davon Nelson, to bring forth his guest.
Amen, amen. Before we bring forth the guest on the night, I'm going to go ahead and open up with a scripture reading from Psalms 118, starting with verse 23. It said, this is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. Verse 24, this is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. So, you know, we don't believe in coincidences, and we don't believe in nothing just happened, because the Bible says in Romans 8:28, all things work together for the good to those who love him and are called according to his purpose. So nothing is without coincidence. So all things are ordained and predestined by God. So without further ado, I'd like to announce our guest, Deacon Brown. So, Deacon Brown, tell everybody about yourself.
Amen, amen, amen. How y'all doing? I'm Deacon Brown. That's my artist name. That's how I go by when I minister through music. But God had blessed me in that prophetic gift, so they allowed me to float in that area of that prophetic realm. And I'm down here I was born in Orlando, Florida, but my mom and they stay in Apopka, Florida, and that's where I resided in Apopka, Florida, been here majority of all my life. My father, he's from up there in Sumter, South Carolina, so I be here and there off and on, but, you know, I'm glad that God is moving in the atmosphere of taking God's people to another level, and God are connecting people that having that same desire and that same vision to build God's kingdom. And God is connecting those people together. And I thank God that God allowed us to connect in this time, in this season.
Amen. So first thing I want to know is, how did you come to know God? Like, you know, the Bible says about Moses, you know, God called Moses. He was in Egypt. God called Moses out of Egypt and brought him to isolation and gave him a burning bush experience. So you pretty much, like, to tie that in with you and everything, what was your burning bush experience? What? How did you come to know God?
Well, I can say this. I've been in church, like, basically all my life. You know, my mama brought me up in the church, but just because I was in the church, that don't mean that I was really in the church. You know, it's like, I felt like I was forced to go there, but all my life, I desired to be a preacher, like, at a young age, but it's like, the way I was surrounded, everybody wanted to be drug dealers, they wanted to be something different, like, we were forced, like, we were made to go to church, so when we were made to do something, we really didn't have that ambition to be what they were making us to be. We desired the worldly thing. We desired other stuff. So it's kind of like I kind of got older and strayed away from the church. But the Bible and the scriptures was always in me because I began to read at an early age because I was forced to do it, but I had to know it. So all of a sudden, like, as I began to get older and wanted to do my own thing, I began to get caught up in the drugs and going to jail here and there. But all of a sudden, like, I could say probably about 10 years, close about 10, 11 years ago, I was out there hustling or whatever, but all of a sudden I had the urge to start going to church. And everything in my life were peaches and cream at that time, because I had all the money I wanted. I had the woman of my dreams that became my wife. I had everything. I ain't needed nothing. So, but for some reason, it was an urge to me to go to church. So I started, like, trying to find a church to go to that I felt welcome. But I started going to church, and people started looking at me funny because I was coming to church high on marijuana, smelling like marijuana. I'm coming to church, so, you know, all eyes on me. So it's like I was kind of feeling like, and, like, kind of embarrassed, so I ain't really, like, wanted to go back to church, but that hunger or that zeal was in me, it just wouldn't die, so I just kept searching, till one day I ran up into this church, and all of a sudden, man, the love of God just burned rushing, because the people welcomed me with love, no matter what I smelled, and, like, they were loving on me, and I was like, man, this is where I need to be, so that just was the thought in my mind. This is where I need to be. That's how I felt. But then I said, well, God, I'm here. And then all of a sudden, when I get the preacher began to prophesy, he said, man, God chose you from birth. And he began to tell me things that happened in my life. And he said, man, God calling you to be a preacher. And you wonder why you had this zeal out of nowhere to begin to get back in the word, to begin to get back in prayer, begin to get back in fasting, and out of nowhere. So it's kind of like shocked me. And then I was like, man, I ain't ready. That's why I was feeling. I ain't ready. But then all of a sudden, from that day, man, I had an encounter with a demon. You know, like, I was at home, and me and my wife, we began to pray. We began to try to get back on the right track. We began to try to get back on track with God, not knowing the thing that God had in store for us. So we began to pray and begin to bind things up. So as I began to sit on the bed and meditate on God, all of a sudden, my wife, she was, I don't know what happened to her. She was like, I don't know, she was nervous, so she began to talk to me, say, something wrong with me, something wrong with me, something wrong with me. So I was like, what you mean? She said, I don't know. I need to call my mom. I need to call somebody. But it's like 2 o'clock in the morning, so I'm like, man, you ain't finna go out there. It's late. It's late. So all of a sudden, I said, man, we can get down and pray. And I began to get down on my knees and pray. And I began to call on the name of Jesus. I began to plead the blood of Jesus. And all of a sudden, the demon began to come forth out of her. And he began to tell me, say, you have no power. You don't know what you're doing. And right then, I knew that God had called me for a purpose. He had called me for a purpose because of the experiment that I had in an encounter with a demonic force when I wasn't even saved. I wasn't filled with the Holy Ghost. The only thing that was on my mind was church at the time, but I wasn't persuaded yet. So all of a sudden then I go to church after the demon get cast out. I go to church like the following week, and I gave my life to the Lord, and I've been running ever since.
You know, it's experiences like that, you know what I'm saying, that people don't think is real nowadays. You know, you tell them about demons and angels, they think it's something that you see on the movies, you know what I'm saying. But no, you know what I'm saying, it's very much real. It's very much real, you know, just as God is real, you know what I'm saying. The enemy is just as real, you know what I'm saying, but he don't have no power. See, that's what we go wrong at, you know what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. Like, sometimes we as Christians, we give Satan back the power that was taken from him, and we, you know what I'm saying? So, you know, I feel you on that. So who has God put on your heart to minister to? Like, what area do you think God has put on your heart to minister to?
Well, like, to me, man, my heart goes out to God's body. You know, it's like God's body, from the young to the elders. God has put that so strongly in my heart to bring God's body together as one.
Amen. So how important do you think it is to communicate the things of God to your audience? You know, whether you're talking to the young, you know what I'm saying, and talking to the elders, like, you know, because it's like with relating, you know what I'm saying, like God, he's not religious. You know what I'm saying? He all about relational, because God, Jesus, he'll meet us where we at. You know what I'm saying? So,
amen.
So how important is it to relate to those you are ministering to?
Hey, man, it's very important, because it's like, by me having that prosthetic gift, you know what I'm saying,
mm-hmm.
I could pick up the atmosphere that we're in. So it's like, that's why when Jesus began to walk among the people, he could discern certain things because of that gift. And it's like, When you need something from God, or you need instruction from God, you need somewhere to go, or you're looking for something in God, and God put that man of God right there in the midst to give you exactly what you need, because it was God's son. So as me being a prophetic man in that mountain, it's very important to get instruction or to allow the people to walk in that vision, that they won't be lost. So without a vision, the people perish. So that's how very important it is for me to get what God got for me to them. Because if I hold back the instructions or whatever God tells me to do at that point in time for the people, I'm saying the blood's going to be acquired in my hand if I do not tell the people what God told me to tell them. So that's how very important for me, whether they're young or whether they're old, to instruct them by the will of the Lord.
Amen. 347-945-5416. Again, that number is 347-945-5416. Kingdom Voices, you can call in, you know, press 1, ask questions or make your comment or, you know, to however the Holy Spirit leads. Just make sure it's the Holy Spirit that's leading you, because I mean, you know what I'm saying, if you get checked, it's going to be by the kingdom, but you will get checked if it's not the Holy Spirit, amen. But, you know, leading to the next question, because, you know, we got, you know what I'm saying, I know you do music, you know what I'm saying, and I heard some of your songs and everything. What's the name of your album?
Well, right now I'm kind of, like, working on an album, I got the EP getting ready to come out. It's called I Plead the Blood of Jesus EP. So it's like that's my album coming out called I Plead the Blood of Jesus.
Okay. Amen. Amen. Yeah, it's power in the blood, you know. The to you in your own words, you know, because, you know, you got like the younger generation, you know what I'm saying? It's like music is their thing that they lean into now, you know what I'm saying? So, and the enemy, you know, the Bible says the enemy is pretty much the prince of the airways, you know what I'm saying? And with music, you know, it's pretty much like words and everything, like words and everything is pretty much is sound, you know what I'm saying? And, you know what I'm saying? Oh, what does glorifying the flesh mean to you?
Glorifying the flesh, meaning like what area are we talking about? Like,
and far as, because you know, it's some people, you know what I'm saying? Like the Bible says, you know, you got some people that have a form of godliness and denying the power thereof. You know what I'm saying? So, glorifying the flesh, you know what I'm saying? You got some people, and you know, I hate to say it, but it's some people in the gospel arena that, you know what I'm saying, like, they have a form of godliness, but they denying the power. So, I mean, in your own words, like, describe, you know, to give the people a view of glorifying the flesh, even rather it's, because, I mean, it's secular, that's obvious, you know what I'm saying, but how would you describe it, you know, glorifying the flesh using gospel music?
I mean, well, I would say because with me, God deal with my motive. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
What is my motive behind the stuff that I do? You know, so I say that when people begin to glorify their flesh, like in certain areas, see me, I would tell people like in my testimony what I did and what I been through, but look where I am at now. So I would like, that's how I would like tell them as a testimony. But a lot of people now, as I begin to listen to the rap music, it's like, The gospel rap music that they say that's what they doing, but I don't see God nowhere in it. Just because you mention the name of God, that don't make it godly. I see, like, me personally, when you begin to edify the spirit thing, you're going to be in the spiritual world with the scriptures and with trying to minister to somebody and trying to bring them out, but not to try to keep them in a state of mind where they at and say, well, you can have this, you can have this. They glorifying the car, they glorifying the things that they got, but they ain't lifting up the name of how they ain't lifting up God. They ain't letting the people, they ain't drawing people to God. They drawing people to the things that you can have with God.
Mm-hmm.
So in my own words, that's what they're doing now in this in the time that we're in. Because if you search the atmosphere, everybody talking about money or being the king or being the boss. So it's like that's what is going on now. So if you ain't the boss, if you ain't king, if you ain't got money, you ain't nothing. So they even bringing that in the gospel rap now. So it's like, oh, I'm the king, I got this, I got the rims, I got the Bentleys and all that. So it's like, where's the God at in that, man? What's the manifestation? What are the fruits of the spirit at in that area? I'm trying to get saved. I'm trying to get delivered. I'm trying to get sight free. And if I'm listening to that, man, that's not ministering to my spirit, man. That ministers to my flesh, saying, well, forget about God. I need to get money in order to run with these type of folks.
Amen, amen. You know, going for, you know, number 347-945-5416, you know, call in. Press one if you wanna talk to this man of God. You got any questions for this man of God? Man of God, Deacon Brown. You know, like a lot of people use different things, you know what I'm saying, that they get inspiration from the right music, you know what I'm saying? Like, as long as it's, you know, with gospel music, you know, we glorify the kingdom, we lift the kingdom high. You know what I'm saying? So but what inspires you to write music, and how does it affect the outcome of the message you're trying to get across?
Well, this is what inspired me, is the Word of God, because that's what I read. That's what I stay focused on. So, like, by me being a spirit-led man, by me reading the Bible, then when I get in the studio, that's what come out. So my inspiration, my motivation is Jesus Christ. So without Jesus Christ being in my message, man, the people have no solid foundation. They can't stand on nothing because if I ain't giving them Jesus Christ to stand on, what can they stand on? They can fall for anything.
Amen. So to where I'm from, Greenville, South Carolina, say, you know, it's a guy on the corner. He's standing there rolling up a blunt. How would you articulate the message of God in the way that he would stand right there and listen to you?
That he would stand right there and listen to me? I get to him right where he's at because me, I was one of those dudes that smoked it. I mean, from the time I woke up to the time I went to sleep, you know. So I would allow God to minister to him right where he's at. You know what I'm saying? So I got to identify his situation. Why he out there smoking marijuana? Why he out there on the corner? What is his struggle? Where he at? So I begin to deal with his issue, deal with the root of the problem in order to welcome him in. I can't go out there and bash and say, oh, you shouldn't be smoking. You shouldn't be doing this. You shouldn't be doing that. With love. And once I begin to know the reason why he's out there, then I can minister to him perfectly. I could give him a resource to come out of the situation that he's in.
Amen. Like your own personal experiences with God and everything and with the music and preaching the word, you know what I'm saying? Like when the music comes forth, do you consider that more of a, do you consider yourself more of a praise or worship type? A worship type of artist.
I can't say that. I'm more like I feel like I'm kind of in my own lane in that area because a lot of my music I'm giving instructions, you know.
Yeah.
So I allow that prosthetic move in that area, like the giving that instruction, that direction.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like I'm kind of like instructing the people in situations. Mostly like on every song, I'm telling them, I'm giving them something. I'm telling them how to do this or how to do that or how to come out or where to go or what to do. So I'm more like I'm an instructor in that area in my music.
Amen. Like in your own personal, like, you know what I'm saying? Everybody, you know, you praise and you worship and you fellowship corporately, you know what I'm saying? In a building, you know what I'm saying? Like, a lot of times we get it twisted and say, you know, we going to church, but we've been taught that it's a fellowship. We're going to fellowship because the body of Christ is the church, you know what I'm saying? So in the midst of the fellowship, you know what I'm saying, you got worship, but how important is worship not only in that fellowship but in your personal growth in relationship with God, not worshiping, you know what I'm saying, in front of people, but when you alone with God, like,
man,
how important is that?
Man, it's everything, man, because if you don't have a personal relationship with God, man, I have no connection. So that is very important, not just because I'm going to fellowship with brothers and sisters. I could say that I have a connection with God just because I'm there. I got to have a long time personal relationship with God on my own time, because just because I go to a building to fellowship, my struggles leave right there. So when I come in church, I ain't got no type of struggles that I have when I leave the building. So that's why it's very important that you build a relationship with God on your own, because, man, the trials of this life, if you have not a personal relationship with God, will take you under. Will take you under, will move your feet, slap off the rock. So that's why it's very important that we build a relationship with God on our own time. We got that same thing that happened in the garden. Eden, when Adam and Eve, the devil came to stop that relationship that they had with God. You know,
mm-hmm.
when he came saying, man, you know that God, he was telling Eve, you know that you eat of this fruit, you're gonna be like God. See, he was jealous of the relationship that they had with God, because when they begin to eat the fruit, God came down and asked them where they at. You know what I'm saying? You out of place, man. Y'all, you know I come down here every time and talk to you in the cool of the day.
This is our relationship. This is our connection. So the enemy came to take that connection. So that's why it's very important that women and men of God, that we stay connected to God, man. We take our personal relationship with God so serious, man, till we will lose our life for that connection.
Amen. You know, I know in this hour, God is causing, he is calling the man to get back in the rightful place. You know, so just like you were saying in the Garden of Eden, you know what I'm saying? Like, Adam was asleep. Eve was off, you know what I'm saying, getting pretty much seduced by the words of the enemy, you know what I'm saying? And what God wanted Adam to do was, I'm not going to say check her, but, you know what I'm saying, correct her. First of all, you know what I'm saying, the only thing Adam said was, this is flesh of my flesh, bone of my bone. He didn't really use the dominion that God put in him to actually call forth and give her, you know what I'm saying, her set order. So therefore, that's why, you know what I'm saying, Eve was out just doing her pretty much doing her own thing. So I feel like if Adam would have directed her, gave her direction according to the dominion that God placed in him, you know what I'm saying, it wouldn't happen. But, you know, God, he seen that it was going to happen, so that's why he had all things work together, you know what I'm saying. But,
man,
you know, 347-945-5416, Kingdom Voices, you can call or join in, listen in. You can press 1 to join in the conversation. But what impact, you know, and this is going to be, I'm not bashing nobody. I don't want nobody going back and saying, oh, you heard Prince, I don't want to hear none of that. But what impact do you think traditional gospel versus the gospel rap of this time, what impact, which one is impacting the younger generation more?
You saying traditional gospel?
Yeah.
Man.
Now, keep in mind, there's nothing wrong with the, you know what I'm saying? Like, I still listen to some, you know what I'm saying? But I know, you know what I'm saying, with how, you know what I'm saying, how old I am, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's just, you know what I'm saying, versus the gospel rap now that's out, you know what I'm saying? It's a different avenue. But how, like, if you look into the world now, you know, what kind of impact do you see? Which one is impacting more, the younger generation?
Stuff that's out now, because stuff that we heard back then, it was kind of put in a different format. So in order to the God catch the people, catch the fishes, now we got to throw those type of baits out that they're looking for. You know, you can't catch a bass with a live bait like a worm. You gotta have what he like. You gotta have the type of fish he like, or you gotta have the type of rubber worm he like. So, yeah, this the impact that it got on now is the older gospel rap is kind of like, I don't know, it's like, I guess it's for that generation, but we're in a new dispensation, so we needed new stuff.
Amen. So, what pretty much made you? I know we got, you know what I'm saying, I know you got the confidence now and the anointing that God put on you, but, you know what I'm saying, everybody starts somewhere, you know what I'm saying, like, what gave you the confidence to move forward in that which God called you to be?
Well, like in what, music or ministry
Or ministry, like, whether it's the music or whether it's, you know what I'm saying, you preaching. What gave you the confidence to start to moving in that area?
Knowing that God is with me no matter what area of life that I'm in. That gave me the confidence. Lord, if I go here, I know that you're with me. God, if I go here, God, I know that you're with me. That gave me the confidence no matter what situation I'm in, no matter where I'm at, God, I know you're with me. So that gave me the confidence, man, God, I could go out here and step on the water and do my thing. This is what you called me to do. Hey, I know you with me, so I'm not going to fail. Why? Because you with me. So that gave me the confidence.
Amen. You know, out of the, like, you know what I'm saying, like, bro, announced, you know, Prophet Faith Walker, like he announced, I have ministered in Burlington, North Carolina, you know, various places. But, you know what I'm saying, one of my best shows, you know what I'm saying, it wasn't when I was signing autographs and taking pictures and autograph pictures. One of my best shows is when a 7-year-old little girl came and gave her life to the Lord. and turned around, went from the altar, went and grabbed her family. You know, I'm seeing this with my own eyes. She went and got her family and brought her family back to the altar. So now, you know what I'm saying, her and her family gave their lives to do that. That was one of my best shows. It wasn't the fact that they, you know what I'm saying, gave me the opportunity to minister. It's the fact that, you know, a life was touched. You know, that whether it's one or 1,000, it was one way, one over for the kingdom. So what was one of your best experiences ministering the gospel?
Well, I can tell you, well, I'm going to put it the way on my music tip. This was one of the best, man, I mean, one of the best feelings that I can ever have in my life. Man, it was a couple of people sitting up under the tree, listening to my music. I mean, they ain't saved. They ain't in the church whatsoever. But maybe God was dealing with them or whatever. So I having the ride by in my car. I'm like, man, that sound like me. That sound like me, man. I'm listening. I'm like, in my mind at first, I was wondering, how did they get that CD? Because at this time, I really only was making music for myself. So it like, I wasn't letting nobody else listen to it or nothing. I'm going to listen to everything that I'm making in the studio just for me, just to keep me motivated, to keep me to go on to the next level in God in my life. So it's like, when I heard this, and they wasn't flagging me down, but they called me T. So they were like, hey, T, come here, man. Come here. So I pull up over there. They drinking and smoking. They wasn't putting their blunts down, putting the cigarettes out, putting the bill down. They say, man, we listening to you, man. Man, this stuff give us goosebumps, man. They like to me, they were like fear, man. They were scared, man. They were like, man.
Hey, bro. Hey, Deacon Brown, I don't mean to cut you off, but I know we got a caller. I believe if somebody want to make a comment or say something. Say, I don't mean to cut you off, bro.
No, you good.
Got a phone.
You good.
Okay.
Yeah, praise God.
Caller, you on?
Hello?
Kingdom Voices, how you doing?
I'm doing fine.
Hello?
Praise the Lord.
Yeah.
Hello, praise the Lord. I'm here.
Praise the Lord. What's your name?
My name is William Hatton.
Amen. You got a question for Deacon Brown? You got a comment?
Yeah, I like what you was asking him about the gospel to the younger generation and the gospel and the difference that you see that is taking place and how you was expounding upon it. And I just like to comment. I just like to say he's doing a good thing when he's talking about his record that's coming out concerning music about the blood. And I believe the gospel, what is the gospel? What is the gospel? And I think some of the younger generation don't even realize what is the gospel. And I just like to expound upon that a little bit.
Amen. Deacon Brown, you can go ahead and take over.
What is the gospel? The gospel is the good news of Jesus Christ of the kingdom. You know, that God was bringing his the power of heaven on earth and putting it in man. That's the kingdom of God. That's what God want us to begin to reach out to and begin to preach God, the goodness of Jesus Christ. So when you begin to talk about the good news, the gospel, the gospel when Jesus began to heal, began to open the blind eye, heal the lame, the sick, you know, it's like, that's the gospel. That's the good news of Jesus Christ.
Amen. That's what I think they're really missing in that, because the Bible is about the shedding of blood. There was no remission of sin. And I think when they begin to realize and understand what God has done and the gospel, I'm talking about the gospel of Jesus Christ, I think they, you know, singing a gospel, sometimes, you know, they love the praises of God, praises of men more than the praises of God. And I think that record that you got coming out, I pray that God just continues to bless you in that area to give you the increase. The young people, they love music. And I believe that those lyrics and the power of God in that, I believe God is really going to do a good thing concerning that. And I just enjoy hearing you talk about how the Lord brought you out and how you going into the house of God, but you still didn't have a relationship And now that you have experienced that relationship, and I pray and thank God that he's using you.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Father, we thank you for that, you know, the encouraging words and everything. We bless you, and we speak God's blessings over you in Jesus' name.
Thank you.
Amen.
Amen. 347-945-5416, Kingdom Voices, Prince Redeem, a.k.a. Joseph, a.k.a. Davon Nelson, here with Deacon Brown, you know, taking over the city, Brown, from Orlando, Florida. You know, it's an honor, and I'm grateful, you know what I'm saying, to have this opportunity. You know, I'm humbled by it. You know, one thing with this, I noticed with the younger generation nowadays, you know, I say my generation, you know what I'm saying? One thing I noticed about my generation is, you know, they don't like to submit to authority. You know what I'm saying? It's a lot of rebellious. It's a lot of, I can do this on my own. I don't need nobody to lead me and guide me. But, you know, plenty of times back in the Bible, you know what I'm saying, I saw where it's always somebody younger sitting under somebody of older age, you know what I'm saying? Even though the Bible says, you know, let nobody despise youth, but at the same time, you know, it say in Ephesians 6, you know what I'm saying, servants, you know what I'm saying, pretty much submit to your masters, you know what I'm saying? So how important is it to show that authority, you know what I'm saying, pretty much the lion and the lamb, you know what I'm saying? Jesus was the lion and the lamb. You know, he had authority, but yet he was humble. So how important is it to show this younger generation, you know what I'm saying, how to submit?
Being humble is the key. You know, without being humble, man, it's like you will have a lot of shipwreck. Without being humble, you will run here, you will run there. Why? Because you're not being humble. You're not teachable when you're not being humble. See, a humble man, he could go a long way. Why? Because he listening and he looking and he's seeking and he's finding what he need. Why? Because everything that he need is in the people that God is sending his way. Whether they sending bad seeds or good seeds, we learn from everything around us. So when you begin to be humble, man, being humble is the key, man. It takes you a long way. It's very important that we don't get the big head, that we stay in a low seat, that we won't shipwreck, we won't mislead people when we're not being humble. Because when we begin to walk in pride, Jesus say those things defile the man. So when we begin to walk out with our chest puffed up, we walk in the error because of people that we might have to minister to one day, or God gonna send some people around us that we may be leaders and they may be followers. We gotta teach them in humbleness to keep the spirit of lowness, because God said those that humble themselves shall be exalted. So that's why it's very important to humble ourselves, to submit ourselves to our leaders, submit ourselves to those that God has set rulers over us, because of those people, man, they hold the blessings upon us. They praying, they watching over our souls. So it's like, man, that's why it's very important to be humble, to stay humble. Because you never know what atmosphere or the people that God is taking you to, that you may be the minister, you may be that light that is going to bring them out of darkness, or that light that shines, that open their eyes when stuff that they ain't know. When you begin to be humble, you can learn those things. You can learn instruction. You can follow instruction good when you being humble, when you're not full of yourself.
Amen, amen. 347-945-5416. Call in, you know, before we end up closing up, and you know, you left with a question on your heart, or you got a comment you want to make, or you know what I'm saying. But at this time, Deacon Brown, just go ahead and release your information and let everybody know where they can find you at, you know what I'm saying, or they can look you up on.
Okay, you can find me on YouTube. I got some videos out on YouTube at Deacon Brown /YouTube. Or you can find me on SoundCloud. I got some music out on SoundCloud. SoundCloud Deacon Brown. I got some stuff on Reverb Nation. You can check me out on there, Reverb Nation. Yeah, that's about it. You can find me on Facebook, Taking Over My City Brown.
Amen. ever had an opportunity to minister to a gospel rapper, who would you minister to?
That's, right now, on that part, I really don't know because me personally, I don't really listen to the radio. Basically, I'm gonna tell you the truth. I really don't listen to the radio, period. So a lot of stuff that people got going on, only way I hear it through the grapevine. Somebody tell me about it or whatever. But in that area, I really.
We got another caller. Got another caller calling in. Hello,
hey,
caller, you on the line?
Hello, how you doing?
Hey, how you doing? What's your name?
Pastor Shula.
Hey, Pastor Shula, how you doing?
I'm blessed. Yeah. Well, I wanted to say something earlier, but I was riding along and I didn't want to cause any accidents. But anyway, I want to talk about the comments that you asked earlier when you was asking him which one did he think, that people are more into, whether it's the gospel rap or the regular gospel.
Yeah.
Hello?
Hello.
I'm still here.
Okay, for some reason I'm hearing a noise in the back. But the reason why I feel that, well, I know down here in Orangeburg where I'm at, to me, the reason most people listen to the regular gospel is because so many churches don't accept gospel rap. And, they have a certain time that they will play it versus whenever, they'll continue to play the other, music, over and over. You might hear the same song, the regular gospel, you may hear it. One of the same songs, you may hear that song at least three or four times a day, versus hearing one gospel rap.
Amen.
And so to me, because a lot of people won't accept gospel rap, that's the reason why, the regular music may have a more of an influence versus gospel. You can have one of the best messages to me in gospel rap, but because of the mindset of people who won't accept it, it's hard. They find it hard to give gospel rap that chance, But I want to say to him, don't let that, stop you, because sometimes, God, he's still breaking chains, So he's still breaking chains, and you just have to continue to press and push, It reminds me of what I saw the seller had on push me, pray until something happened, So we're going to continue
Amen.
To pray for you, man, that God will continue to use you, the way that he want to use you.
Amen.
But that's all I wanted to say, and I'm going to continue to listen to y'all, and y'all have a blessed night.
And you do the same. Appreciate you calling.
Yes, sir. God bless.
Amen. 347-945-5416 if you want to call in. Kingdom Voices, Prince Redeemed with special guest Deacon Brown. Like Pastor Shula was saying, the people that's set in that mindset, that's like me personally, that's probably why they really haven't experienced another move of God, because me and Minister Faith Walker, we was building on this earlier, a lot of people get just stuck in this one move of God, But if just look at it like David and Saul, Like you can look at the I'm not gonna really say traditional gospel. I'm gonna say, regular gospel music and gospel rap, Isn't that like regarding the man after the flesh? Because what I mean by that is if the person has the anointing, It's the Bible says it's the anointing that destroys the yoke and lifts heavy burdens. So whether they are ministering by singing or whether they ministering through gospel rap, God can use anything, He can use anything to reach people, So I understand exactly what he said, because a lot of churches reject the gospel rap because, that mindset. But, the Bible, why would the Bible say be ye transformed by the renewing of your minds. It didn't say sinners be renewed by the transforming of your mind, or just Christians be renewed by. It just said be ye renewed by the transforming of your mind. You know what I'm saying? So be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So therefore, in order to see the constant move of God, we got to keep our minds renewed, and we got to think about what it is we thinking about. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. I understand. I thank you for calling in, Pastor Shula. If you had 3 minutes in front of a camera, and this camera was connected to the whole world, and you got 3 minutes, what message at that moment would you say to impact, whether you impact one person or 1,000 people? What message would you speak?
Our street was, get ready because Jesus is soon to come.
Amen. 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 347-945-5416. We having Kingdom Voices talking with Deacon Brown. Bruh, I heard your songs. You know, I heard the Lay Me, I think it's Lay Me Down.
Mm-hmm.
I like that, you know what I'm saying? And I know Bruh spoke to you about that and everything, but, yeah, we gonna build on. I like that. Very anointed song. But, you know, I heard the hook of it, you know what I'm saying? It took me back to a prayer, you know what I'm saying, that my moms used to pray with me and my brother. See, I grew up in a single-parent home, you know what I'm saying? But my mom, she would say that prayer, now lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep, you know what I'm saying? But how important is prayer with, you know, not only with our kids, but how important is prayer for our kids?
Amen. Man, prayer is very important because prayer is what dispatches the angels around your surroundings and asking God to shield or protect those that you love or to make some things happen. Where you're not located. Say, like, if I'm in Africa, way down where my loved ones are, and make some stuff happen that I can't make happen. That's how I put a prayer.
Amen. Amen. Excuse me. I know, you know, directly talking to God and everything, you know, is getting him to move, you know what I'm saying, and being able to connect with him and having that connection to the power source is what gives you life, you know what I'm saying? But, you know, the Bible says in Proverbs 18, and it says, a man's stomach shall be satisfied by the produce of his lips, you know what I'm saying? So, you know, what impact have you seen speaking the word of God take place where you at?
And it gave me a better opportunity in life by speaking the word of God in my life. It created a new atmosphere, a new world of my own through the word of God.
Amen. I know Proverbs 13:2 says, a man shall eat good by the fruit of his mouth, but the soul of the transgressor shall eat violence. You know what I'm saying? You got a lot of people, you know what I'm saying, I'm not just going to say they in church. I'm just say they having fellowship or they having a building experience. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? But they constantly speaking against, you know what I'm saying? They in the word, they read the word, but then yet they constantly speak against it. You know what I'm saying? So I know God is big on causing us to think, you know what I'm saying? Think on how he think, taking on the mind of Christ. You know what I'm saying? So, at what point did you notice that you took on the mind of Christ?
When I began to do some things that I feel like he would have did in a certain situation. That's
Amen.
When I felt like I took on his mind.
Amen. You know, I know the Bible talks about, too, you know, some of these come by prayer and fasting. You know, so you know, in this hour, you know, how important is it to consecrate yourself? How important is it to set yourself apart to hear directly from God?
And it's very important, man, because like I said earlier, without a vision, the people perish just as well as without instruction. So if I can't hear in my connection with God, man, I'm going to be lost. So that's why it's very important to, like I say, take the relationship with God very seriously.
Amen. Amen. What vision has God just placed on your heart at like for your ministry as like preaching the gospel or you know, walking in the prophetic? Like what vision did you set apart from the music ministry?
To bring God people together, man, to bring the body of Christ together. That's a vision, man, that he had given me. To bring them together as one.
Hey, man, I know the Bible speaks about one, you know, walking in unity, you know what I'm saying, and uniting for the body of Christ, you know what I'm saying, because you got a church on this corner, you got a church on that corner, you got a church on this corner, and in most places, you know what I'm saying, in most places, you know what I'm saying, these churches are worn against each other, but I thought we were supposed to be united in the body of Christ.
That's what I'm talking about, amen.
You know what I'm saying, but you got this pastor don't like this pastor down the street because this pastor got more members, you know what I'm saying, I thought it wasn't like, you know what I'm saying, some of the most anointed places, you know what I'm saying, is the places that it is not packed out, you know what I'm saying, but you got some Holy Ghost filled believers within that building, you know what I'm saying, who really walking together as one. You know what I'm saying? But then you got people down here who just going to the building, having the building experience just to see who they can gossip about and see who got on this or see who they can talk about or see who's doing this or see what man they can get or what woman they can get, you know what I'm saying? So I understand the unity and walking together as one. You know what I'm saying?
Amen.
But in this time, you know what I'm saying, like how important is it, like not only just gospel artists, you know what I'm saying, and walking in the prophetic to come together as one, but how would we use the word of God to cause those outside of the church to come in and see how good God is?
Say that again.
I said, how could we join together to use the gospel, you know what I'm saying, how could we come together, you know what I'm saying, without the arguing? How could we be one? How do you walk together as one? How could we walk together as one to win those outside of the building to come in and taste to see that God is good?
The Bible says, how can two walk together unless they agree? So this you got to agree on something. What we gonna walk after, and we believe in Jesus Christ. So once we believe in that, so and our mission is to bring the people together to save souls. That's how we could do it. Put down our difference of what we believe, how things should be done, and what we believe in, how we should do this and how we should do that. We set that aside and get the mission accomplished.
Amen, amen. Yeah, the Bible says, you know, it's at the Great Commission. Christ was to go ye into the world preaching the gospel and make disciples of the nations, you know what I'm saying? So a lot of times people get caught up in, you know what I'm saying, going into the building and like Minister Faith Walker said earlier, you know what I'm saying, they come out of the building having that experience and then they close the Bible up and then throw it on the back seat and don't pick it up until next, you know what I'm saying? So you know what I'm saying? So it's a lot of people that's doing that in this hour, you know what I'm saying? They picking up the Bible only on Wednesdays and Sundays, but then the rest of the other days is just, you know what I'm saying, even though the Bible says that it's supposed to be downloaded into your heart, you know what I'm saying, and when that time comes, the Holy Spirit will speak for you, you know what I'm saying? But it's a lot of people operating in their own flesh that they just, hey, I'm going to read this on Wednesday, I'm going to see what pastor's going to say, I'm going to read whatever he read. And then put the Bible down, you know, put down their sword, put down their power sword. But the spiritual armor of God, like, how important is it putting on that spiritual armor before you go into battle? Like, before you go into a neighborhood, how important is that to you?
It's very important because if you don't have it on, anything could can attack you. Anything could damper your spirit if you ain't got that, your armor on. Anything could weaken you. So when you begin to put on the armor, man, it protects you from a lot of stuff. That's why it's very important, because you never know who's out there warring against you.
Amen. How do you come back? Like, what is your comeback against distractions and against the wiles of the enemy? Like, when the enemy is trying to come at you, like, you know what I'm saying? Because I know it's probably people listening in and they going through stuff, you know what I'm saying? But sometimes all they need to know is like, okay, you know what I'm saying? Even though I know everything don't work for everybody, but the word works for everybody if you use it, you know what I'm saying? So what scripture, what's your favorite scripture that you use to combat the enemy?
All things work for the good for those that love God and according to his purpose.
Amen, amen. I know it's about that time we're coming to a close, but if you got, it's 347-945-5416 if you want to call in with your last comment, or, you know what I'm saying, you want to ask a question before we get ready to close and end off, you know what I'm saying. So I know probably at this point, you know, Minister Faith Walker, you still listen? You still on?
Yes, sir.
Okay, I mean, you can take over if you want to.
Well, hallelujah. We just thank God on tonight for this wonderful broadcast brought to you by Interpraisement Media Group, also sponsored by On the Spot Nathan. We give God the honor and the praise. We thank God for all those who are working hard behind the scenes, making it all happen, Pastor Hill and all of those at Nathan On the Spot. We also give honor and praise. We like to thank personally Prophet Brown, the Deacon Brown, to come through and to just build on that foundation, which is Christ, and just laid as by his apostles and his prophets. So we thank him for coming through and just explaining what level of mantle that he's operating in the music ministry. And we also like to invite those to be back here tomorrow night for the mantle of God. Well, we have people that just basically what we're doing now, amen, talking about the mantle, but we're just focusing on the ministry part. But tonight we focus on the music ministry part. So we thank God for Kingdom Voices. And tomorrow night at 9 o'clock, we will have the Mantle of God Empowerment Program. So make sure you tune into it tomorrow night. We will be right back on here. We will have a fivefold minister. It could be an apostle, could be a prophet, could be an evangelist, pastor, teacher. You never can tell, but it will be fivefold. That's the way we roll. In the name of Jesus Christ, so we thank God on tonight for what he has done. If there's no any more sayings, we'll go to the throne. And we just like to ask, if you don't know Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, you can have salvation today, right at this very moment. If you heard anything tonight that quickened your spirit, amen, and that you need a change in your life, as stated by the very own prophet, a.k.a. Deacon Brown, and also Prince Redeem, amen. Just you can have salvation tonight. So we just act in the name of Jesus wherever you at. If you believe in your heart and confess your mouth that Jesus Christ, that he is Lord, that he died and rose on the third day, arose with all power, arose with the keys of death and hell in hand, and that he is ordained to be kings and priests in his kingdom, and that on the inside that he's given you the opportunity to manifest the working power of his kingdom in the name of Jesus Christ, you just say, I believe Jesus Christ is Lord, come into my heart, save me, fill me afresh with your Holy Spirit, and you can get filled with the Holy Spirit and speak with other tongues that the Spirit of God give us utterance, amen. And then you can go to a local church and ask to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, identifying with that same death, burial, and resurrection experience. So we thank God on here tonight in the name of Jesus Christ. So as we go, Father God, in the name of Jesus Christ, we thank you for this broadcast. We thank you for Kingdom Voices. We ask that you bless the prophet of God. We ask that you bless him, God. Bless his family. Bless his children, Lord God. Everything he stretched forth his hands to, Lord God, no weapon that form against him shall prosper. Every tongue that rises up in the judgment, thou shalt condemn. So we declare, we decree that this prophet of God, that he'll go forth in the anointing that you call forth, Lord God, setting the order, Lord God, and preparing a way that's straight for him, Lord God, in the name of Jesus Christ. We ask Thank you, Holy Spirit. We thank you for the rest, Lord God, for the man of God. Rest for the man of God. Rest for the man of God, Lord God. And we just declare that peace be still, Lord God, around him, Lord God, in the name of Jesus Christ. We thank you for Prince Redeemed, Lord God, who hosts this show, Lord God, done with excellency and anointing, Lord God. We thank you that his household, Lord God, all of them that hear him, Lord God, are influenced by just what you're doing in his life, Lord God. We bless Princess Redeemed, Lord God, his helpmate, Lord God. We ask, like, Lord God, you bless her, Lord God. Continue to grow her up, strengthen her in the name of Jesus Christ, Lord God. And so, God, we give you the all honor, all praise on behalf of EMG, On the Spot Nathan. This has been Kingdom Voices. We'll see you tomorrow on the mantle of God at 9 o'clock p.m. In Jesus' name, God bless.
God bless.
What I was expecting, fear filled, I had my mind kept guessing.